This week we continue our study of Proverbs 10 through 29. We've sorted the varied proverbs in those passages topically, and today we start a discussion on what is probably the most referenced topic, speech. By my count, there are more than 80 of the proverbs in these chapters which deal with speech. We'll be dividing these up into multiple messages, and the speech-relevant topic for discussion today is the one that receives the most attention among those. That is honesty, which is referenced in about 30 of these proverbs. You have no particular passage for consideration today, since our verses are spread out over multiple chapters. My recommendation is that you continue to study those chapters on your own, and I will cite most of today's verses when we reach them. So today we are talking about honesty. Honesty is a subset of speech in general, and so, as an introduction to that general topic, we should consider the importance of speech in general. What you say and how you say it matters. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, the tongue itself does not actually kill anyone, nor does it give anyone life, but the things that it says can convince people to do things, and the things that people do can either save lives or destroy them. So then the power of the tongue is in its convincing. The tongue can convince a person to avoid danger or to walk into it. The tongue can convince a person to do the right thing or the wrong thing. It can convince a man to kill by explaining to him a moral justification, or by throwing him into a fit of rage, or it can convince a man to save a life. And so the tongue is very powerful. You can use your tongue in such a way that someone wants to kill you, or someone else can use his tongue in such a way that others want to kill you. And the same could be said of giving life. The tongue also conveys information. Information can be useful for saving life, say by teaching a person how to be healthy, or it can be useful for destroying life, say by spying and revealing the secrets of building the nuclear bomb. Knowledge is power, and so by speaking, we can not only convince people to do good or evil, but we can also empower them to do it. And of course, silence is also speech. In one situation, you may speak out in anger and make a conflict boil over. Perhaps it is better to save your life by restraining yourself and being silent. In another situation, maybe your testimony could save the innocent, but by cowering you allow him to die. Maybe you should have stood up and said something. And so whether we speak or restrain ourselves, whether we shout or cower, whether we convince for good or evil, in all such things we can kill or save. If you love good speech, you will benefit. If you don't, watch out. Proverbs 18:7 tells us that a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. In contrast, Proverbs 18:20 tells us that from the fruit of a man's mouth his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Proverbs 12:14 gives a similar message. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. And other proverbs give similar messages. Proverbs 10:20-21 tell of how the good tongue is like silver and feeds many people, while the wicked are worthless and die. Proverbs 12:13 tells us that an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. Bad speech can be a catalyst for physical altercations. Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Now, I think that we should be very careful with that. Saying things that make people want to punch you in the face, or saying things in such a way that people want to do that, is not at all the same as giving someone a moral justification for punching you in the face. Aside from bearing false witness, slandering, committing theft by deception or some breach of contract, etc., speaking is not a violation of the law, and it does not justify physical punishment. As we have mentioned before, righteousness is a part of wisdom, but wisdom is a different thing. Righteousness is obedience to the law, and wickedness is punishable under the law. It is wise to be righteous, but most wisdom is unrelated to moral or legal obligation. So while the things that a person says might get him beaten up, that beating would be generally unjustifiable. In contrast to that, having good words can make you friends, and even friends in high places. Proverbs 16:13 says that righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. That, of course, presumes a good king. So we can understand that good speech is an essential of wisdom. Speaking can save or kill, can make or break relationships, can bring prosperity or ruin, and can even get you beaten up, whether you deserve it or not. And so we turn to the most important kind of good speech, honesty. On the topic of honesty, I think we should first note that honesty has a higher priority than other types of good speech. So, for example, in reading through the book of Proverbs, we might ask, is it more important to be honest or to be kind? The Proverbs tell us that both honesty and kindness matter, but sometimes honesty and kindness might run afoul of each other. Should we lie for the sake of being polite, or should we risk being unkind by telling uncomfortable truths? Many faced with uncomfortable truths would opt for the English, but not the biblical proverb, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. I find that maxim to be a disagreeable one. Sometimes things that are not nice must be said, and we should all be mature enough, as we discussed in our lesson on humility, to hear things that are unkind. Ideally, we should be able to tell the truth to others without being unkind about it, but if we must choose, I would argue quite strongly that the truth should never be sacrificed for the sake of kindness. I give the following arguments. First, truth is immutable and unchanging. 1 + 1 = 2 yesterday, today, forever, and everywhere. Truth is a solid rock. In contrast, kindness is significantly more fluid. What is polite or rude or nice or mean changes with the place or the time or the person or the culture, and what is or is not kind is not easily defined. Truthfulness is easily defined. Either you're telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or you aren't. Second, honesty is a part of the moral law. The third commandment at Exodus 20:7 tells us, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." The intent there is that we should not swear, as in God's name, to do a thing and then fail to do it. That's honesty in our dealings. The ninth commandment at Exodus 20:16 tells us, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." That deals with honesty, particularly in a court setting. Exodus 23:1 tells us, "You shall not spread a false report." Leviticus 19:11 tells us, "You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another." So several times and in several ways, the law tells us that we should be honest. While there are certainly scriptures which would uphold kindness as a standard to aim for, those passages don't carry the weight of being an enforceable moral law. Being rude is never a crime, but being dishonest often is. And as we have noted, honesty lands at the top of our list of speech-related topics in the number of verses cited, which at least faintly suggests honesty as a priority over something like kindness. Not only that, but since honesty is a component of righteousness, as noted in the moral laws above, we might make the argument that any proverb about righteousness is also a proverb about honesty. And so for these reasons, I view honesty as taking the top priority in our speech. Even then, though, honesty is not the top priority in everything. We have discussed before that there are justifications for lying. One example is to save an innocent life. We discussed such a situation back on February 3rd of 2020 in a message titled Rahab and the Spies, covering Joshua chapter 2. In that story, Israelite spies went to scout out the city of Jericho prior to Joshua's famous invasion. Rahab, a Canaanite, hid the spies and lied to protect them. Was Rahab justified? I think that she was. Honesty, while taking a high priority in wisdom, takes a relatively low priority in the law. Now, that doesn't mean that we would be justified to lie in some trifling matter. But if lying is essential to save a life or to prevent some heinous sin, it can be acceptable under those kinds of narrow circumstances. Let's consider some proverbs that deal with honesty generally before we move into some particular types of dishonesty, like flattery or bearing false witness. First, some proverbs that describe how wicked dishonesty is. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." Proverbs 13:5 is another. "The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace." Dishonesty is so bad that Proverbs 19:1 tells us that it is better to be poor than a liar, reading, "Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool." And by the way, that crooked in speech intends dishonesty, not, for example, something like saying a cuss word or some such. Proverbs 19:22 agrees with Proverbs 9:1, saying, "What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar." So, clearly, dishonesty is bad, but what is it that makes dishonesty bad? Proverbs 16:28 tells us that A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Indeed, lies hurt society, and that harm causes strife. Sometimes the harm is that of false witness, in which a lie told about a person harms his character. Sometimes the harm is that of some loss, such as when a person makes a decision based on faulty information and gets an unexpected outcome. Sometimes the harm is caused when a person makes an obligation and fails to fulfill it, leaving someone else in a lurch. And I must say I particularly hate that one. If you say you are going to do something, whether it is being at a certain place or fulfilling the terms of an agreement, or even just returning a phone call, you need to do it. Don't cause problems for other people by being too cowardly to say no to them. Or maybe the harm comes in broken relationships because people decide that they can't trust the other person to whom they are talking. If you lie, people won't put their faith in you. All of those things cause social harm and much strife. And you shouldn't lie and expect to get away with it. Most often, someone will uncover dishonesty. This is because the truth is in accord with reality, and people deal in reality. In dealing with reality, they usually come upon the truth. Attempting to obscure reality and to keep it obscured takes a lot of effort. Usually, a person can only keep straight for so long what it is that he is trying to obscure and the various ways in which he has tried to obscure it. At some point, he contradicts himself and the house of lies comes crashing down. Truth is much easier to maintain. It tends to be clean and efficient. In accordance with that, Proverbs 10:9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out." We read also in Proverbs 12:19, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." And dishonesty, when it is found out, has its consequences. Proverbs 17:20 says, "A man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity." Honesty, then, is the best policy. Honesty is easy to maintain, it tends towards smooth social interactions, and it keeps us out of trouble. And if we want to be honest, then it is in our best interest to be good. Why do people lie? Generally, they lie in an effort to deceive someone into giving them something that they want. Perhaps that something is a direct positive benefit. Lie and tell your mother you finished your dinner, and maybe she'll give you dessert. Or sometimes it is the avoidance of a negative. Lie in front of the jury, and they may spare you. On that note, if you want to avoid lying, then you should live the kind of life that you don't need to cover up. If you live well, then, assuming you are among good people, you shouldn't need to lie about what you've done. And if you act with good faith and goodwill, you won't need to lie about your motivations. Proverbs 26, 24-26 addresses this, saying, "Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly." And of course, we also find in there a warning against trusting the wicked. They have plenty of motivations to lie and no scruples about doing so. Proverbs 6, 12-15 describes for us a liar and the trouble that comes to him. "A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing." Let's extrapolate on that. First, we should note that the liar, the man with crooked speech, is a worthless and wicked person. The liar described here is one who is dishonest in concert with others. This passage describes the secret society, in which a group of people have some hidden objective, and they have devised some means of communicating which is unknown to others. So this man winks and points and stands a certain way to communicate secretly. This kind of secret communication the scriptures lump in with prohibited dishonesty. This kind of communication is dishonest in that the intent behind it is to conceal truth from some other person outside of the secret society. Another verse mentioning the same idea is Proverbs 16:30. "Whoever winks his eyes plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass." I'm reminded of Freemasonry. They have a secret society, and they coordinate on secretive goals to socially benefit their members in unjust ways. And they usually go about it with secret hand signs and grips and so forth to communicate amongst each other. The entire matter is fundamentally dishonest and at odds with the scriptures. Of course, a person in what I am terming a secret society need not be a Mason or some such. It could also just be organized crime, or even just a couple of people working together to con someone. However it plays out, hiding the truth with the intent of taking advantage of another person is fundamentally immoral. That kind of dishonesty which excludes others from the true intent of the secret group and which takes advantage of those others creates a continual sowing of discord, as the passage also says. And as a result, this kind of person suffers sudden calamity. One day, his sins will catch up to him. Another way that a person might be dishonest is by saying something untrue and then attempting later to play it off as having been only a joke. The Proverbs hold a very low opinion of that. Proverbs 26:18-19 says, "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I am only joking.'" And indeed, deceiving people can be as detrimental to them as going out and intentionally destroying things. Another way that a person might be dishonest is found in Proverbs 27:14. "Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing." I love that one, if just for the comedic value. I picture someone walking at dawn past the house of someone he knows to be asleep and shouting, "God bless you," and startling that person awake. The one awakened will not feel very much blessed. Now, I'm not sure that the passage intends that the one who gave the pseudo-blessing did so for the purpose of harming his neighbor. Maybe this is not so much dishonesty as it is good intentions gone awry, but it could represent dishonesty of the type in which a person says something nice to cover for doing harm. I find this kind of dishonesty to be particularly common among Christians, stemming in part from misapplication of a passage like Luke 6:28, in which Jesus said, "Bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." And this is a good principle. We should bless those who curse us. However, the intent is not to bless with mere words. In blessing, we should genuinely have a heart of goodwill toward the other person, such that we intend that person's good. Unfortunately, in modern Christianity, the passage is rarely implemented that way. Most often, we see it done something more like this. Person A offends person B, and then, with an air of condescension, person B sneers, "God bless you," or "I'll be praying for you," primarily, with the intent of proving himself to be the better person, and not really with any concern for the other's well-being. Well, that is fundamentally dishonest, and it is not taken as a blessing so much as a curse. A circumstance like this one is particularly frustrating when person B has done something to harm person A. So suppose person B violates the rights of person A. Obviously, a genuine concern for person A would carry with it a concern for person A's rights, and his rights would be of a greater priority than pronouncing a blessing. In that case, person A might respond angrily, and person B might then cap the conversation off, saying again with the sneer, "God bless you, I'll pray for you." Well, that clearly is not the kind of love for one's neighbor that Jesus intended. We must prioritize loving our neighbors by first giving them their dignity and respecting their rights, and only with our words thereafter. So I don't want to hear anyone in this church saying, "God bless you, I'll pray for you," unless you mean it. To do otherwise would be to disgrace Jesus' intent. Another example of a dishonest blessing taken as a curse is what I call the bureaucratic sir. This is the one in which people maintain politeness while doing something fundamentally wrong, very similar to the former example. The classic case is that of some government bureaucrat who does something which he should not do, thus frustrating some person, and then only annoys him further by calling him sir. The word sir is supposed to be a term of respect. However, the underlying wrong that is being done is itself a fundamental disrespect. Calling someone sir in an outward show of respect when clearly there is no actual respect is dishonest. The blessing sir, then, is taken as a curse. And of course, the bureaucratic sir is spoken only for the sake of benefiting the one who speaks, to make it look like he himself is the bigger man in the situation. But if you do something fundamentally wrong, acting the part of the bigger man before your victim does not make you the bigger man. It just makes you dishonest and irresponsible. One particular type of dishonesty which the Proverbs directly oppose, and for which I have a particular disdain, is flattery. Flattery is the error of saying nice things that aren't true just to gain favor with people. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying true things, even uncomfortably true things, to people nicely so as to maintain favor with them. There's also nothing wrong with saying nice things to people to maintain their favor so long as they are not dishonest things. However, saying things that are not true but which sound nice to make people like you or support you is expressly unwise. Flattery may seem generally harmless, but it isn't. Flattering a person causes that person to think unduly highly of himself, and it causes him not to see the pitfalls in front of him. Tell a person he's great when he isn't, and he'll keep on doing whatever ungreat thing he's been up to until it destroys him. Yes men are harmful, and in like manner, people whose pride causes them to surround themselves with yes men harm themselves. Proverbs 26:28 tells us that a lying tongue hates its victim, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And indeed, the flatterer does hate the one whom he flatters. If the flatterer loved him to whom he spoke, then he would not flatter. He would speak honestly, even honestly to his own detriment, to help that person see his pitfall. But the flatterer is selfish. He doesn't care if the flattered fall into a pit. He only cares about maintaining his own favor with them. The flatterer is not a person who seeks to build another up. He is one who seeks to benefit himself at the expense of the other. Proverbs 29:5 agrees, "A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet." The kind words of a flatterer, then, are really just a trap. And we reviewed several Proverbs which covered the same general topic last week when we discussed humility. We read in Proverbs 27:5-6 that open rebuke is more favorable than hidden love, and that your friend will faithfully wound you with criticism, that is, while your enemy will smother you with metaphorical kisses. Proverbs 27:9 told us that your friend is the one who gives you earnest counsel, and we took Proverbs 27:17 about iron sharpening iron as a metaphor for a man using criticism to strengthen his listener. Proverbs 28:23 told us also that a man who gives a rebuke finds more favor than a flatterer in the end. So the Proverbs tell us pretty clearly that flattery is unwise. Flatterers selfishly harm others for the sake of earning favor for themselves, but in the end, they aren't favored. I must say, though, the reason that I particularly hate flattery so much is that, in an overly polite culture where people tend to say only nice things, it eventually becomes impossible to know whether anyone is telling the truth about anything. I love the truth, and so I despise flattery. Another even more detrimental kind of dishonesty is the bearing of false witness. Generally, when we think of false witness, we think of someone going into court, swearing to tell the truth, and then giving false testimony. The Proverbs define a good witness as one who tells the truth. Proverbs 12:17 says, "Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit." Proverbs 14:5 says, "A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies." So a false witness, obviously, is one who lies. Those lies are very harmful because they hinder the effective functioning of the legal system, which is critical to maintaining a just society. When a witness lies, he either helps the guilty go free to the detriment of his victims, or perhaps worse, he helps to convict the innocent very much to that person's harm. Proverbs 19:28 says, "A worthless witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity." Disrupting the just functioning of the court is very harmful indeed, because the decision of the court ultimately represents the public opinion. Generally, the people had some hand in appointing the courts, and generally the people accept their decisions. When the court makes the wrong decision, the society makes the wrong decision, and that essentially pits the victim against everyone, and the collective everyone is powerful enough to bring serious consequences to bear. For that reason, Proverbs 25:18 tells us that a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club, or a sword, or a sharp arrow. In contrast, Proverbs 14:25 tells us that a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. So life and death hang in the balance when a witness speaks. If he speaks truth, he may save a life. If he lies, he may take one. That said, the Proverbs tell us that the false witness will ultimately be found out. Lies tend to be hard to prop up, but truth will prevail, and when it does prevail, the liars will be punished. Proverbs 21:28 says that a false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure. Proverbs 19:5 says, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." Proverbs 19:9 is very similar to that one. "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish." Of course, one can bear false witness outside of a courtroom by saying something bad about a person that isn't true at any time. That is slander. And a person can also harm another person by saying things that are true, but which are said out of turn. That is gossip. Gossip is the error of saying something detrimental about someone else in such a way as to unjustifiably harm that person's reputation. So maybe the detrimental thing said is untrue, or maybe it is true, but it is said without justification. For example, Suppose person A committed some sin. Well, in that case, there is a process to go through to restore person A and to have justice. Matthew 18 teaches us on this. Private confrontation is appropriate. If that doesn't correct person A's error, public confrontation is appropriate. And if that doesn't work, there are disciplinary systems in place for the purpose of correcting person A and bringing about justice. And that is what we should want. We should want for people to be corrected and for fellowship to be restored and for justice to be implemented. Gossip goes outside the process, and it does so for the purpose of harming someone. So in that case, person A sins, and no one does anything to correct person A or to hear the facts of the matter in a fair tribunal to achieve justice. Instead, they just run around talking bad about person A for the sake of extrajudicially harming him. That is not appropriate. If you are too cowardly to say something to someone's face, and if you don't have the evidence to bring the matter to a public hearing, whether it is true or not, then maybe you should just keep your mouth shut. But unfortunately, people love gossip. Proverbs 26:22 says, "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." Proverbs 18:8 is identical, both in the ESV and in Hebrew, though the King James words them differently. Why do people love it so? Gossip is a way of socially connecting. If person A says something bad about person B to person C, and person C agrees, then A and C have a common enemy, and thus a social connection. In some sense, they become teammates. They suggest to one another that they trust each other enough to have a common secret. This is why women in particular tend to talk badly amongst themselves about others who are not in their group. They are building their social bonds by making someone else into an outsider. Of course, the whole idea is foolishness, because tearing other people down is not beneficial to the group, and because if a person will gossip to you, he will probably also gossip about you. So people who do that are really harming themselves and everyone else, but it makes them feel good about themselves to be in the club sharing the rumors. And of course, speaking amongst themselves in an echo chamber, they tend to make mountains out of molehills and to engage in groupthink and to unfairly deny their victims of any self-defense. It is all very stupid and immature and painfully detrimental to the conveyance of truth. And of course, the Proverbs speak ill of such practices. Proverbs 10:18 says, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." The one who conceals hatred, the person who smiles to your face and then stabs you in the back, is a dishonest person whom the Proverbs define as a fool. Proverbs 11:13 says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." And Proverbs 17:9 says, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." So those who spread secrets are not wise. The harm caused by such practices breeds social ill will. Proverbs 25:23 says, "The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue angry looks." This kind of social ill will becomes fuel for endless social conflict. Proverbs 26:20 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." So if you want to have a harmonious group dynamic, it is important to have honesty, clear communication, appropriate channels for communication, and discipline for those who go outside of those channels. In general, it is best for you to stay away from those who would gossip and slander. Proverbs 20:19 says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." To conclude then, the Proverbs place a heavy emphasis on wisdom through good speech, and the most important kind of good speech is honest speech. Honesty is a moral duty and receives more attention than other kinds of good speech in the Proverbs. There are limited justifications for dishonesty, such as lying to save an innocent life, but generally lying is an abomination to God which rightly incurs his wrath. Dishonesty is harmful to trust in relationships, and it causes a great deal of harm and social strife. Usually, dishonesty is found out, and when it is found out, it has consequences. So what should we do in light of this? First, we should live in such a way that we have nothing to lie about. We shouldn't do wrong things that need to be covered up. We also shouldn't try to take advantage of people by deceiving them, and we shouldn't coordinate with others who attempt to build themselves up or to tear others down by lying and concealing the truth. We should be sure to follow through on our commitments. Our yes should be yes, and our no should be no. We should speak from the heart, not using false blessings to cover up ill intent. We should not flatter anyone. We should not bear false witness against anyone. We should not gossip about or slander anyone. To sum it up, we should love our neighbors as ourselves. We would want to hear the truth from people, and so we should muster the courage to tell them the truth. To fail to do so would be unwise.
For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.